Acts chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. We continue to journey through the book of Acts. The book of Acts is, again, the continuation of the Gospel of Luke. It's part two of a two-volume work. The story of the life and ministry of Jesus is told in the Gospel of Luke, and many would argue, and I tend to agree, that the book of Acts also tells the story of the life and ministry of Jesus. Only the story in the book of Acts is uniquely viewed through lenses that views Jesus through the church. I've alluded to the idea in the past that there are a couple of authors who suggest that the church is the second incarnation of Jesus. The first incarnation was Jesus, who was divine, who came to us in flesh. He came, he lived, he walked on his earth, he died, he resurrected, he ascended into heaven. But then there was a second incarnation, and that is to say that Jesus was incarnated a second time in the life of the church. And so when we see the church in the book of Acts, we see Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, as I alluded to, Justin presented a wonderful message about the church. And in his presentation, Justin rightly connected the activities of the church and its life with the activities and life of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Recall, if you will, Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 41, which reads, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And we see early on as they emerged out of the watery water of baptism, they came up out of those things. And we see four marks of the early church, that they were a community that committed to learning together and meeting together and eating together and praying together. And these were activities that we see Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, we see him doing in the Gospel of Luke with his disciples and those who followed him. And we see the same things going on in the book of Acts. So it makes sense that the church is the second incarnation of Jesus. And this would become the ethos or the character of the early Christian community. And their character came directly from the character of Jesus Christ. So then, when you see the church, you have to see Jesus. When you hear about the church, you have to hear about Jesus. If in the context of church, the activities doesn't flow directly from the life of Jesus and his teaching regarding the kingdom, we are bound to have problems. We are headed toward disconnection from the King of the kingdom. So now we could be tempted into viewing church as this quaint and cozy club that spends time every day in each other's homes having tea and having book clubs and having a little activities within the community. We could be left to believe that the community of the early church spent all of their time together and thus blatantly ignored the mission Jesus had laid out for them when he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Remember Jesus said that? The early disciples, those who were baptized, received the Holy Spirit. Now, did they receive the Holy Spirit only to eat, teach, meet, and pray together? If we let the author of the book of Acts speak, the answer is an emphatic no. Because immediately following this summary statement that we read about at the end of Acts chapter 2, and we read about this new and fast-growing community, the narrator tells us another story, and I read that text earlier. Now I want us to see the text as portrayed in this short film.
Anything to give? Alms?
Look on us.
Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And walk.
There's something about seeing the text that you know, reading it just doesn't give it justice, but seeing the text, I mean, feel what's going on here. Here's a guy who day after day is being carried to the temple. And I hope you got the visual of guys that just kind of dropped him off at the steps and they just continued their way up the steps. And this guy, since he was lame from birth, never knew the experience of walking up the stairs and going into the temple with his brothers and his sisters to go pray. There's something about seeing that brings and adds color to the story. And what we need to know and what we'll see throughout the rest, remaining moments here, is that he was able to do that because of a name, because of Jesus. So that we don't get the wrong idea about the early Christian community, the first story following the summary of the activities of the early church is a story about Peter and John going outside of the community to do ministry. And what we find to be most operational throughout this narrative is a name. And while some people might dare say there is nothing in a name, most of us understand that there is absolutely something about names. In the year 2013, most parents thought Sophia, which comes from a word that means wisdom, and Jackson, which is a name that means God is gracious to me. Those were the most popular names given to babies in the year 2013. On that list, I did not see Hitler or Jezebel, because there is something in a name. There's a reason my mother named me Dion and not Angelica. It's because I got brown eyes. I don't know. There is something in a name. When we named our children, we wanted to give them names that meant something. When we named our daughter Caitlin Michelle, that means a pure lover of God. When we named our daughter Kira Brianna, that means virtuous ruler. There's something in a name. Tell your employer. If you don't believe that there's something in a name, please go tell your employer to put my name on your paycheck. And once you go try to cash that check and you understand that you can't cash that check or you can't deposit, you might get deposited, but put my name on your check if there's nothing in a name. When we start talking about money, sometimes we understand, yes, there is something in a name. And as we come to the temple at the hour of prayer, we see Peter and John, we see a lame man at the temple gate begging for money. Sad sometimes that all we see is a beggar. It's sad that sometimes all we see is a cripple. All we see is an addict. All we see is a swindler. All we see are the symptoms of bigger diseases. And I thank God that Peter and John saw a man. They saw a man with issues, but before the issues, he was a person. He was a human being. He had a heart. He had a soul. He had a spirit. And they see a man who is in need of the powerful name of Jesus Christ and the touch of God. Church, what do we see? What do we see when we see troubled individuals? Do we just see a lunatic? Do we just see an addict? Do we just see a prostitute? Do we just see an adulterer? Do we just see a liar? Or do we look deeper and understand that that liar, that addict, that prostitute has a spirit, they have a soul? And they, just like us, need the powerful touch of God. This man sees Peter and John and doesn't hesitate to ask these men for some money. And Peter tells his man to look at them intently. In this tense moment, the man looks at Peter and John and he gets excited because he thinks he's about to get some money. Yet Peter goes beyond blessing this man with gold or silver coin. He says, "In the name of Jesus, get up, stand up, and walk." And immediately The man gets up, he walks, he jogs, he runs, and he leaps. He leaps for joy. And the people who saw this were amazed. There is a word that is employed throughout the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts. It's that word amaze. The author uses this word over and over again as a way to explain the reaction to the people. The word amaze here in the text comes from the Greek word where we get our English word ecstatic. The people were ecstatic. The people we just read about and who witnessed this, they were about speechless, but overcome with wonder about what they had witnessed. I love the way Peter sees this moment of opportunity in the name of Jesus. I love how this lame man couldn't help but leap for joy because of the name of Jesus. I love the way Peter and John took some time to do good, even if it delayed their church service. They were on their way to the temple. They were on their way to go pray. They were on their way to do some religious stuff. But aren't you just glad that they said, you know what, we can put that on hold to do some good. Sometimes we need to put our church service on hold to do some good. It's okay. It'll still be there. They'll still be praying. They'll still be worshiping. They'll still be singing. But sometimes people are put in our way for us to do good, not for us to step over to say, I got things to do. The things that we have to do, God is putting right before us. And I thank God that Peter and John said, we can put that on hold. There's some good that we need to do right here. I'm glad that Peter and John were broke. They were broke at that moment because they might have done what we often do when people ask us for things, because we don't want to be bothered. When I'm walking into a store and someone is like, yo, man, you got $5? Can I hold $5? Charles. There's a side story I'll tell you about later on. But can I get $5? And just so that you don't bother me, man, here go $5, here go 50 cents. I got things to do. I got to go get my hot dog from Speedway and my chili sauce on it or my Slurpee. And sometimes we give money because we don't want to be bothered. And I'm not saying that we don't give the $5, but sometimes maybe we need to give the $5 and stop and talk. Yo, man, why do you need this $5? What's going on in your life? Why are you out here begging? Maybe we need to see more than someone that needs a whole $5. I'm sorry, I said dollars, dollars. I'm glad that they saw what this man truly needed, and that was the name of Jesus and the power associated with it. Peter seized the moment. Seeing that he had an ecstatic crowd, a captive audience, he began to preach and teach. And I'll give you one guess about the topic of Peter's sermon. You got it. It was Jesus. He preached Jesus. In verse 13, he spoke of the glorified Christ. In verses 14 and 15, he spoke to the fact that many standing in the crowd were responsible for the death of Jesus. And Peter would go on to explain that it was the name of Jesus that healed this man, not them. It wasn't their power. It wasn't human effort. It was the name of Jesus. Peter preached repentance and forgiveness of sins. The focal point of the miracle and the sermon was Jesus. When we skip forward to see what we see in chapter 4 is that there was opposition. You see, progress in the church community almost always will be opposed. The evil one is not happy with the name of Christ being exalted and people attaching themselves to Jesus. So when good is done in the name of Jesus, expect opposition. In fact, while Peter and Paul might be main characters in the book of Acts, I would say that opposition is at least a co-star. As a result of Peter's preaching, both he and John were thrown into prison. But listen to this, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 4. It says, but many who had heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. That was just the number of men. So that means many, many more heard this message and they gave their lives because of the name of Jesus. Sometimes we need to hear that the Lord is growing his church in spite of opposition and even in spite of our own inactivity or lack of abilities. I need to hear that. The Lord's church doesn't grow because of me. It grows because of the name of Jesus. And if I want to be part of the growth of God's kingdom, I need to be confidently and passionately associated with the name of Jesus, because there is something in a name. There's something in the name of Jesus. And Peter explains this to those who attempted to stifle his message, those religious leaders who arrested them. In Acts chapter 4, starting at verse number 5, it says, "The next day the rulers, elders, teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He," speaking of Jesus Christ, "is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." And listen to this. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." No other name. Here is the declaration that was destined to be trouble for Peter and John and the rest of the early church community. The declaration of exclusivity in the name of Jesus meant that other roads to salvation would prove to be roads to nowhere. And while there are ways that this declaration can morph into power grabs and arrogance, the declaration wasn't meant to be that way. The declaration was meant to be a message of hope and healing. As the name brought healing and hope to this lame man, it was to bring hope and healing to a lost generation and a lost world. And evidence of his hope and healing would be illuminated in the preaching and practice of the church. Church, we need to understand and we need to embrace that we are people of hope and we are people of healing. And when we say things like "there is no other name but Jesus to be saved," that's not our way of trying to put down everything else. It's our way of saying that it's because of the name of Jesus that I stand before you as a healed individual. It's because of the name of Jesus that I stand before you as a person with hope, despite the issues, despite the challenges, and despite the trouble that might come my way. It's because of the name of Jesus. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there is something in a name. And there is something about the name of Jesus. And I'm determined to display that something in my life, in my preaching, in my ministry, in my service, in my kindness, in my forgiveness of others, in my humility, in my repentance of wrongdoing and my sins, in being a husband and being a father and being a neighbor. I am determined to be associated with the name Jesus. Our worship needs to be saturated in the name of Jesus. Our attempt to reach the lost must be saturated in the name of Jesus. Our work together in the kingdom of God must be saturated in the name of Jesus. There is something in a name. And I could start speaking some names that might make you feel a certain way. I mean, some names just make you feel warm and fuzzy, like mama, or daddy, or black eyed peas and cornbread. There are some names that just make you angry, like Osama bin Laden. There are names that remind you of champions, like the Buffalo Bills. And there are names that remind you of losing, like the Buffalo Bills. There are names that does all type of things, like the name of your children. I like hearing the name Kira. I like hearing the name Caitlin. Like the name of your spouse. I like hearing the name Christy. I love when she calls me Stud Muffin. Sometimes. There's something about that name, but there is no other name like Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will the best critiques of a church or of preaching or of ministry is for someone to criticize us and say, you know what? All y'all do is talk about Jesus. Why, thank you. That the name of Jesus would saturate all that we do, that we would first as individuals and as a church embrace an understanding that it was because of the name of Jesus that we're alive today. Amen. It's because of the name of Jesus that we're saved today. Amen. It's because of the name of Jesus that we have healing. Amen. That we would first embrace that. And then as we do ministry, whatever the name of the ministry, children's ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry, elders ministry, deacons ministry, carpet ministry, whatever the ministry is, that it be saturated by an understanding that we have embraced, that there are kings, there are kingdoms, there are ideas, ideals. There is nothing that can compare to the name of Jesus. And if you in your life have not embraced Jesus in your life, we want to be a church that helps you come to that embrace. We love you and we want to love you towards your journey to a full embrace of the name of Jesus. I want you to be like that lame man. That once he embraced the name of Jesus, once Peter and John pronounced the name of Jesus, he got up, he leaped for joy. I want you to have the opportunity to walk and approach God confidently, walking up those stairs into the presence of God, maybe like you've never done before, because of the name of Jesus. May he take control of your life, control of your words, control of your ministry, control of everything that you call yours. Give control over to the Lord. If there's anything that the church can do for you, pray for you, study with you, read scripture with you, journey with you in your embrace of Jesus. We want to do that. If you want to be baptized, we can provide that ministry for you. If you just want us to just surround you and pray for you, we would do that. So as we sing this song, let's stand. And if there's something that you need to get right with God, get right with a brother or sister, let's not leave here without that getting done. Let's sing.